If you grew up where I grew up, what does that mean? We hear. What does it mean? Wake up! All right. How many of y'all heard, like, on Wednesday afternoon, a sound you don't really want to hear again? Let's see if I can do that one. Hang on, I gotta go a little lower. And how many of y'all heard that, man, over and over and over again? Why would they use such an obnoxious sound for a tornado warning? Why? What's the purpose in that? To wake up, yeah. Man, when things are urgent, you gotta wake up. And so we're gonna finish Romans chapter 13 this today. And we got to go back super quick and look at the beginning of Romans chapter 13. What he told us at the beginning is that all government, all authority is there by God's design, and our job is to obey that authority unless they're telling us to disobey God. But if they're not, whether we like it or not, we obey that authority. And we honor that, because if we're not honoring God who put things in charge. We preached an entire message. I preached for like 5 hours, right? It felt like 5 hours, right? I preached that long one day on all of that. Then he went on and said, man, we're supposed to be the best citizens. You know, we're supposed to be the best citizens. Government shouldn't be worrying about us if they're not calling us to do something against God. But then he said, we're supposed to be the best neighbors. Man, we're supposed to be the best neighbors in society because we have Christ inside of us and we're full of love. And I got to say, man, in this storm, I'm watching that happen. You know, I'm watching Christians stepping up, and I'm watching other people step up because it is no, that's the moral right thing to do. So many people were trying to pray the storm away. No, dude, God accomplishes great things, and God's going to do what God's going to do in all of this. So he says we're supposed to be really great neighbors in all of this. And then he finishes it up, and he says, here's why. I need you guys, this is the Apostle Paul, I need you to wake up because time is short. And you have a mission at hand. And Allison, you started again. You preached my message, man. And then the next person got up and preached my message. And then the next person got up and preached my message. You guys all preached my message. You're saying, well, does that mean we get to go home? No! I want to preach this message so you can see how everybody preached my message today. Because the time is short. And God's got a purpose for leaving us here. And it's not about us. We're taken care of, dude. If you're saved, you got a home in heaven. It's a done deal, and nothing can change that. And so all our job is to be recruiting for Christ while we're here. And so that's why he says, wake up. Wake up to what's really, really important. Man, I'll never forget. I'm in my chair, and we're hearing, and it's for real now, because I don't know if y'all know, but I'm kind of a weather nerd, and I have, like, I pay for radar, dude. I've got, like, 5 colors, man. I could literally pinpoint watch these tornadoes. The one that hit up at Spanish Lakes was the biggest tornado signature I have ever seen in all my years, and I've been watching and studying, and I love hurricanes, dude. Even before I was saved, on my artwork, there was always a hurricane in there. Well, on my disc golf disc, what is there? There's a hurricane. That's EF, and there's a cross in the middle. Christ is the eye of my hurricane. I'm obsessed with the hurricanes, all right? But I'm more obsessed with Christ. And as long as I've been watching this, man, I've seen there's tornadoes that go with every one of these hurricanes. Hurricane Matthew, I watched them rip Lakewood Park apart. But this was, you know, a lot of tornadoes. They said this was all going to happen. And so, again, man, it was like, you know, when all of a sudden, I'm watching it hit Belglade, not Okeechobee, it's my Belglade, my family, all right. Let me see your hands, Belglade family. Yes, we have Belglade family. Oh, Chuck's called, yeah, all right. And so, man, I was watching the theater bands going up there, and I'm like, dude, there's tornadoes. I'm watching the red and the green, and then the purple and green on my other, and I'm watching, and I'm saying, these are coming. And all of a sudden, we started hearing it, and we started coming, and Ashley's like, all right, Dad, you're watching tornado. You're watching this, right? You're watching this, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching it. Like, you're going to let us know when we got to go do something, right? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I didn't ask for this pressure. I'm just kind of, it was like,
And so there's my wife and my daughter, and they're kind of like, okay, is Dad really going to let us know when to go to the safe room? And all of a sudden, okay, do we go? I'm like, no, it's only a mile away. It's okay. Literally, I'm watching these things. Dude, Julia, at the end, I'm watching one cut through heading right to your house at Round Island. I don't know if you even know if there was one up there. You've seen the debris. There was one that went right up by your house. I was praying for your house. That if God wanted to hit it, he would. No, I'm just joking. I was praying that God would do what he needed to do, and I was praying for your protection, for your safety, as I was with other people as I'm watching this stuff go down. But man, all of a sudden, I'm hearing this on the TV. They got the Weather Channel. They got the local news going. And I'm ADD. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Did y'all know that? But, dude, I went in my study, and I hung out in my hammock, and I had Lana come with me. And I'm kind of like chilling, like, all right. And I said, Lon, you want to play with my shells? Because I have like all my special shells that I've been collecting my entire life. And I'm like, you want to play with my shells so she could hang out? Keone was hanging out, chilling, and I was praying. And I'm like, God, you got to show me what to do, man, in this. And they kept hearing, and Terry, you remember that meme you used to post where the guy's looking around the corner saying, hey, this is what it looks like when I'm watching God, what? Something I left in God's hands, right? And I kept seeing Ashley and Linda look around the corner like, should we go? And I'm like, no, this one's just right on Jenkins Road. It's only a quarter mile away. We're good. Literally, I'm watching Alana play with shells. But I'm praying, and I've been posting scripture. If you're a Facebook friend of mine or whatever, I don't do all this with me. I just do Facebook, but man, all that scripture I post, I'm begging God for scripture to bring me comfort and the comfort of other people. And one of the ones that kept coming up out of Isaiah was, you'll have perfect peace if your mind is focused on him. Man, and just praying and saying, God, show me. And it was so cool because literally I'm watching on radar more than what you could see all these tornadoes. And God was giving me, I'm looking at a little four-year-old playing with shells. Looking them up in books. And I'm watching older girls going, hey, do we need to go yet? And doesn't God say sometimes we're supposed to have faith like a little child? We're supposed to just trust. And they were trusting in, she was trusting in me. I'm trusting in God in this. And again, I know I've seen the devastation up on Angle Road. You can't even go up by Pastor Zane's house. You go up around that area. That Amazon building is gone. Its roof's hanging over. It's all pulled out. Every tree, every line has metal hanging off it. There's telephone poles not broken half, broken four pieces, man, and stuff laying. It's crazy what's... So God, with his pinpoint accuracy, listen to this. God, with his pinpoint accuracy, did exactly what he needed to do in every situation. I look at Skylar and Emily's house, how the hurricane, the tornado came out of, now I'm talking like JJ, right? How the tornado came out of the Savannahs, and it started and it ripped right through their backyard and didn't even touch their house. You watched people, I've been talking to people, and they're like, my trees that came down right here and came down here. What arborist has that kind of pinpoint precision? But you're saying, but my house got hit. My house had it. Guess what? Who did that? Who allowed that to happen? It was God Almighty in his pinpoint precision that has allowed all that. We know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean they feel good, but they're all there. And the good in it is that we, through faith, can be more like God. We become more like God in these situations. And when we are more like God, man, he gets the glory. Hey, Chuck, what? Some guy drops in on you on a big wave. Did you get some big waves this past week? Some good? All right. Yeah. The guy drops in on you, and all of a sudden, you don't go like all bonkers on him. People are like, whoa, what happened to Chuck? Do they know it's not you? Yeah, they know it's God. And all of a sudden, God gets glory, because if God can do that to Chuck out in there in the waves, right, Tom? If God can calm Chuck down out in the waves, dude, everything's good. He's a powerful God, right? I'm just picking on him because he knows I know I can pick on him in that. But I'm just saying, whatever situation you're in, man, what I saw in this is God's pinpoint accuracy. So whether you got hit, you didn't get hit. Man, I'm watching as all of this goes down. And again, it's this pinpoint accuracy so that you know. Man, Emily and Skylar, how did it feel to have a bunch of people come over and clean your house? And was that not cool? To meet your neighbors? People you wanted to meet, but you were too chicken to go meet. Now look what God did to get you to meet your neighbors. I'm just saying. God is opening things up. And it's and sometimes, again, what is what is that? It's a what kind of call? A wake-up call. God has all kinds of wake-up calls. And if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, the culmination of the whole Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, what'll be provided for us? Everything we need. That's whether you got hit or you didn't get hit. I've been there. I've been there with Matthew and Francis. I mean, with Francis and Jean, with Wilma, with all. I've been affected by these. Man, you remember the neighborhood you were living in back then? Dude, it was like Lake Longwood, wasn't it, or something? And yeah, so God, as tough as it is right now, we need to help each other out. You've heard some needs. Maybe there's more needs. Make the needs met. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we help each other out. This is what God's doing. It's a wake-up call. The world needs to see Christ. And who is he going to see Christ through? Hang on. Let's change that word. Let's make it another two-letter word. Everybody put your thumbs up and say, me. Who's he going to see Christ through? Me. Yeah. You're like, well, I was really going to watch that football game this afternoon. You know, I'll do it tomorrow. Now, he wants to use me, each one of you. So again, this is what he's saying in Romans chapter 13. He says, first of all, I want you to obey the government, unless government's telling you not to, obey God. I want you to be the best citizens. We've gone through all of this. And he says, here's why. It's a wake-up call. So check this out in this. Where he says, wake up, Fabrizio. Where's your brother, man? He didn't come today. Is he surfing? Oh, he wouldn't come out of the water? All right. I'm glad you came out of the water, man. That's good, man. I'm glad to see you here. So, man, so again, wake up. This season is almost over. Hey, when you heard, Terry, you weren't even here. Were you here? Yeah, when you heard those things, was it necessary that you do something now? Or could you be like, oh, yeah, there's going to be a tornado. We'll take care of that later. No, it's now. In fact, how many of y'all just like looked at it and said, oh, and you didn't even read it anymore? Because it came through. You're like, oh, I'm supposed to get to a safe room. Okay, whatever. You know, like, you're right, Michelle. Man, it wasn't trains. I could hear half a mile from my house, a quarter mile from my house. And I could take you where all those went. I could hear it was weird thunder. I even said that to my wife. I'm out on the back porch. I said, this is weird thunder. And you could just hear it rumbling through. But God, with his pinpoint accuracy, did exactly what he wanted to do. And Michelle, and you guys, Ralph, you can take comfort in that. Man, I promise you can take. Out of all the people in the world that he allowed this to happen to, guess who he picked? You. Right now, you're not finding joy in that, are you? You're like, he's got a plan. And in the hindsight, man, once we get to see past it all, we're going to be giving him glory for it. But it's hard right now. In Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's verse 6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what do you need to be able to please God? Faith. In order to have faith, you have to have situations that require what? Faith. How many of y'all prayed this morning and said, God, do something in my life today? So if you don't show up, I'd be an utter failure. How many of y'all prayed for that today? God, do something in my life today that I can't take care of, that I have no control over, and it'll devastate me if you don't show up. God, do that. Kathy, did you pray for that this morning? No, I want to challenge you to. God, do something so supernatural that only you can get blamed. But in order to do that, he's got to put us in a situation that we have no control over. Amen? So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he's got to give us situations that require faith. Right? And then when we, and then where do we get the faith from? Austin, where do we get the faith from? You know the answer, dude. Where do we get the faith from? God, yeah. So he gives us the situation. He gives us the faith. What do you have to do? Just put it on. Use it. Apply it. Easier said than done, but it's there for the taking. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's got to give us situations that require faith, and then he's going to give us faith, and then we've got to use that faith. And when we do, and people say, oh, wow, oh my goodness, how did that happen? How did that get fixed? How did that get rectified? How did that, and who gets the credit? God. And guess who became a little more like God through faith? What's that answer again? M-E, me. Yeah. So God has to give us these wake-up calls. And guess what? There's going to be more. Hurricane season's not over. I love hurricanes, and I know God's in charge. And I have been devastated by him before. I know. I've been there. I got it. But God is in charge, and he's doing this so that others can see Christ in who? Me. But we have another season that's almost over. This season that we're in spiritually right now. And the most important thing is we've got limited time to show people who Christ is. Take a look at Romans 13:11. He says, now, besides this, all right, and we talked about that last week, besides this, you know the time. Now, he's not talking about chronological time. What he's talking about is a season, that kind of time. He's talking about, you know the time of history right now. That's what the word that in the Greek that he's using. You don't know, oh, it's like, you know the time, it's 1034. You only have like, you know. No, you know the times we live in. That's what he's talking about. You know the time that the hour has come for you to what? To do what? Jules, to do what? Wake up! Yeah. Are you a morning person? No. So who's the morning person here? Okay, Ben's a morning. I'm talking about your family. Who's the morning person in your family? Your dad? Yeah, so do you find great pleasure saying, wake up, wake up, wake up? Man, when I was a kid, dude, that was my job. My mom, I don't know, she must have needed some time alone. I don't know why. I don't know why, but man, she would stay up late at night in the quiet and crochet and knit and do all kinds of stuff. But dude, when it was time to get, I was a morning person, man. I'd be up 5:30 and man, I had to leave for school by 7:30, man. We only had a couple hours. And literally my job, I would get on her bed and I would jump on her bed and go, mommy, wake up, mommy, wake up. Now you know where your kids get it from? Yeah. Be careful who you marry, y'all. It goes back a few generations, but yeah. Wake up. Besides this, you know the time. You know the time in history that we're in. You know the time in the spiritual calendar we're in, that the hour has come. In this time of history, the hour has come for you to what? Wake up from your sleep. So you know what? You can know. What are some things that you can do? Fabrizio, what's some things people can do in their sleep? Give me one thing. Snore. Okay, that's when they're sort of sleeping, right? All right, what are some normal things? What are some things people, other things people do? What, Ashley? What's that? Dream. Oh, gosh, no. All right. Help me out. Maybe I got to ask this question a different way. Those are normal things for people to do in their sleep, is to dream, to snore. But what are some things that people might do in their sleep? So can you walk in your sleep? Can Keone walk in his sleep? Oh, my goodness, yeah. You know, he didn't get that from me, I don't think, but probably from JJ's family. All right, but I'm just saying, you can walk in your sleep. So he's saying spiritually, wake up. There's a bunch of you walking like Christians, but you're dead asleep to the time and history that we have. Hey, what else can you do in your sleep? What else can you do? Anybody here know somebody that talks in their sleep? Let me see your hand if you know somebody. Yeah. Yeah, we're rushing about. Yeah, they talk. In fact, there's people I know that can have full conversations, and you're talking to them, and you find out then that they're not really talking to you. They're just talking in their sleep. And again, there's believers. That's what he's saying spiritually. Wake up. A bunch, you look like you're awake. You're doing things. He said, wake up from your sleep. You're walking, but you're asleep. You're talking. The Christian talk, but you're asleep. You're doing all. What else? Well, never mind. We won't go there. Especially if you had a brother who was on the top bunk and you were on the bottom. But anyways, you can do a lot of things in your sleep and look like you're awake. And that's what he's saying spiritually is happening. So he says, besides this, you know the time. You know the spiritual time frame that we are in, and that the hour now has come for you to wake up from your sleep. Quit playing Christian. Quit talking all churchy. Quit doing all these things, but dedicate your life to truly following Christ and bringing people to Him. Wake up from your sleep, for look at this. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Okay? Two ways you can take that, and we're going to see that ultimately the way he's talking about it is ultimate salvation. The ultimate salvation, we're already, he saved us before we got saved. He keeps us saved. There's salvation, there's sanctification, where we're becoming more and more, we're saved, but we're becoming more and more like Christ. There's glorification, where one day we're going to be perfect in all of this. When is it that we're going to be perfect and like Christ? When Jesus comes back. The second coming of Christ. Dude, do you know that's the highlight of all of Scripture? The second coming of Christ, but the world's got us scared to talk about it. Because, oh, they're going to build me a tinfoil hat. Well, you know what? I got a whole closet full of tinfoil hats. It doesn't even matter. Christ has got, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, he said, do this in memory of me until I, what? Come back. We profess all the time Christ is coming back. But how many of y'all thought he could come back today? Anybody have that thought today? He said, that's our blessed hope. In Titus, he says, that's our blessed hope, to keep focused on the fact Christ could come back right now. He could come back at any time. So our time on this planet is short. Because if he doesn't come back and we die, when can you die? Any time. And you're not, and besides, you already know this, you're immortal until God is done with you. You're mortal until God's done with you. And so you got short time. So when he says, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, well, when did you get saved? Guess what? You've now lived this long saved. So your death is nearer. Christ coming back is nearer. In fact, I'll show you in a minute as we look. Basically, the end times are from the time of Christ's ascension to the time of his second coming. And we're at least 2024. Is that what year this is? 25. We'll just go 25. 2000. We're over 2,000 years into this, so we're closer to him coming back than any generation has ever been. You ever think about that? Now, do we know when it happens? No, we're going to talk more about that. But this is what he says. Dude, you don't have forever. That's what the devil wants. Here's the devil wants you to get wrapped up in this world, focused on this world, doing what this world, just look like this world, and then nobody finds Christ through you. And your life is all occupied by the world instead of doing what you were really called to do. Spencer, you know what you were created to do? You know why? You were created to be saved. And when he saved you to be an ambassador for him. That's what your job is, an ambassador for him. You know what an ambassador, does an ambassador go walk around and put people in headlocks and make them, an American ambassador in Haiti? Would he put people, is his job to put people in headlocks and make them all become Americans? No, he's supposed to represent his country that he's an ambassador for. He represents. Now, what if some Haitians say, what if some people say, oh, I would like to become an American? He's supposed to make that possible. Theoretically, that's what an ambassador is supposed to do and how it's all supposed to work. But we're ambassadors for Christ. So we put people in holy headlocks. No, we represent the kingdom of Christ. That's our goal. That's our job, no matter what occupation he has. Why does he have people? Dude, Julie, you're a Pilates teacher. Is anybody in Pilates need Christ? Oh my goodness, yes. They're the lostest people I've ever known. I'm joking. No, I'm just saying wherever you're at, whatever you do, he puts you there to be his ambassador, to represent his kingdom. And then when people say, hey, how do I get to be a part of that kingdom? And you get to tell them. You get to introduce them to the King of the kingdom. And he takes it from there. He takes it from there. And he keeps it all going. So besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. Quit playing church. For salvation is nearer to us, whether it's your death or it's Christ coming back, which is in context what he's talking about. You'll see. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Period. I want to show you, I could have gone where JJ went and in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. By the way, there are no signs for the rapture. In fact, there's people that believe the rapture will come before the tribulation period. That's where I'm at. I'm the bride. I believe that. There's people who believe the rapture will come halfway through the tribulation period. There's people that believe it'll come after the tribulation period. There's people that believe there is no rapture, okay? I'm just saying there's all kinds of thoughts on this right here with everything that I have prayed and studied. Again, I believe that the next step is we are going to be raptured. I believe then we go to heaven for 7 years, and I believe we have our marriage consummation with Christ. I believe then at the end of that, we come back, and that's when Armageddon, that's when he wipes out this world, and he starts the new heaven and the new earth that the Jews were looking for, and there's a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. You want a technological, a theological term for that? I guess it's somewhat of dispensationalism, if you want any of that kind of thing. There are all kinds of these terms, and again, I'm not arguing about that, but you know one thing nobody argues about? There is going to be a second coming of Christ. That's one thing. So whether there's a rapture or not a rapture, whether at the end, you know, of the there's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom, at the end of the tribulation period, Christ comes back. There's no signs for the rapture. All the signs he gave them were for the second coming of Christ. So let's say that's Christmas. All right, so if you go into Walmart, Target, for some of y'all are scared to go to Walmart and get a cultural experience. I'm just saying. You know I'm joking. I love you Target people. But it's like, but I just, Fernando, one day, man, I want you so bad to just come with me to Fort Pierce Walmart. I'm messing. I know. I'm just guessing. You've been there. I know. I got it. I'm just messing with Fernando. All right, I'm going to pick on Ashley because Ashley's like, oh, this is scary. I'm like, no, this is the world you live in. But anyways, what was I talking about? Help me out. Oh, Christmas coming. So you walk into Walmart right now. There's Christmas decorations. They have wiped out the entire gardening section inside with all of my grilling stuff. They've wiped it out and put it all outside. And you know what they have? They have Christmas stuff. But what comes before Christmas? Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's at the front in a little aisle right there, okay? Because you don't sell much stuff if people are grateful for what they have. You have to make people disgruntled with what they have. They need new stuff. But anyways, so if I see stuff for Christmas and Thanksgiving's not happening, what's the next thing that's going to happen? Thanksgiving. So when we see signs for the second coming and we see them getting more bold, we see them becoming more prominent, man, and we see them getting stronger like birth pains, and then what do we know has got to be around the corner? If you believe in a rapture, if you believe in it, and by the way, I believed in it long before. I never had a Scofield Bible or any of that, if any of y'all know what that's talking about. But I'm just saying, if I believe there's a rapture and I see signs for the second coming getting stronger, what do I know is coming up? The rapture. And besides, dude, I ain't got much more time left on this planet. I don't know. How many? I'm looking at some of y'all. Some of y'all ain't got much time. Dude. Either way, if you're in Christ, it's perfection, man. that we know that's settled, but you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation's nearer to us than when we first believed. And so 2 Timothy, the same guy who wrote this book of Romans, is the Apostle Paul. He wrote to Timothy, who's a young pastor, and he's trying to encourage him. And he said, guys, this is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to look like to the end. I'm not going to preach through the whole thing, 7 verses. I'm just going to read it, maybe say a few things on it, because it's pretty self-evident that these things are becoming more and more prominent in the world. When JJ was talking earlier about Matthew chapter 24 and 25 in there, they kept saying, Jesus, when's this all going down? And he's like, you know what? You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it'll go down when it's all going to go down. And they're like, what are the signs? What's everything? And he said, look, man, it's going to get bad. It's going to get worse. Where you think it can't get any worse. And then it's going to get worse. And then it's going to get worse, and you guys don't think it can. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be peace and safety. And that's when I'm coming. When everybody's trusting in themselves and their systems that they have put together. Peace and safety. The more you hear that from the world, those are buzzwords, guys. Listen for them. Go read UN stuff. Go read stuff that's international, and you're hearing more and more peace and safety. And I don't think that's an accident, those words. But he said, when everybody's trusting in all of that, then I'm coming back. Amen? So he said, but what it's going to be like is that, yes, you can look at this list in Timothy I'm going to show you and say, well, these have been going on since Roman times. Well, these have been going on since this has been going on since the beginning here. He says, Jesus said they're going to be like birth pains. They're like birth pains. What do we know, moms who have had birth? The closest, y'all, I mean, I've had a man cold, all right? So, you know, I can speak with authority on these birth pains, which are kind of nothing compared to the man cold, right? No, Ashley? Birth pains. You have birth pains? All right. I'll pick on my wife, and I'll use discretion, but. My son Matthew, dude, he wasn't waiting around, man. My wife, you know, woke me up on a Sunday morning at a new job. Big old church, woke me up. I have all these responsibilities, said, oh, I think my water broke. So when she says she thinks her water broke at 4 or 7 in the morning, Savannah, what's priority? Okay, honey, listen, I got to go to church. I'll take care of everything. I'll meet you at the hospital, and I'll get you there, and we'll see what happens, right? Is that priority? No. What am I supposed to do? If she says her water broke, what is the next deal? Dude, I drop everything. I'm calling people at my new job saying, guys, you got to cover for me. My wife's water broke. I don't even really know what that means, but dude, I know it's urgent. It's going. It's fixing to happen. It is a done deal. Well, dude, I'm so glad you got out of the water, man. All right. So listen, man, her water broke. And so, man, I mean, what's going to happen next? She's got contractions going on, right? Am I getting too deep for some of y'all, or y'all been there? Whatever, you know? Contraction. Now, just to help her out, they hooked her up to a machine, okay? Guys, were any of y'all in there when your wife was giving birth? Skylar, if and when that all goes down, you need to be in there because you will appreciate your wife and the kid way more than if you just got to see the kid later. Had her hooked up to the machines and all this, man. And I'm like, oh, honey, look, you're getting ready to have a contraction. She's like, I know. She knew ahead of time. But what happened to the contraction? The first ones were just like, oh, I mean, they're nothing, right?
They get stronger.
Huh?
They get stronger.
Yes, they get stronger, yeah. Dude, the first one, when she's holding my hand, was like, oh, yes, okay, I know. The third, the fourth, I know. Yes, I know. No, she wasn't that bad. In fact, my wife's so tough. She is just a farm girl, tough. And she one time goes, ah! And I'm like, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, you scream all you want, girl. You fixing to pop a ham out, man. I'd like, they'd have to knock me out for this, man. So anyways, the contractions, they got stronger and they became what? More what? More frequent. That's why God uses that illustration. Christ used it. He said, these things are going to be true in the world because they're true of man and human nature, but they're going to get stronger, and they're going to become more and more frequent until all of a sudden you're not even fazed by it anymore because they're so common and they're so strong. But he said, that's what's going to happen. So look real super quick at 2 Timothy chapter 3 in this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm looking at the ESV. He says, but understand this. He's teaching his young pastor, Timothy. He said that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. King James says perilous times. The last days. Well, how do you know we're in the last days? Well, the last days in Scripture are from the time Christ was ascended, and you can see that at the end of Matthew, until the time he comes back. That's the last day. So when people say, you know, in context are saying, oh, we're in the last days, they're not predicting, well, they shouldn't be predicting, you know, with a clock or whatever, because nobody knows the time. Somebody ever does tell you this is when Christ is coming back, guess what? Guess what, Sean? He ain't coming back. Dude, quit predicting. I hate when people predict. I'm like, dang, now God can't come back on that day. You know, he could come back. He could work it all out. But the point is, he said the last days, the last era, the last piece of the time clock in his calendar. It's a season. And we are already for sure 2,000 years into it. Peter did say 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years. So we don't know. But we can watch and we can see if these birth pains are becoming more frequent and if they're getting stronger in our society. And even if we're only halfway through and you see they're getting stronger, you see it's getting darker, you see it's getting worse, what a great time for our light to shine. Amen? So he says, understand this, that in the last days, there's going to come times of difficulty. How many of y'all think it's becoming more difficult to be a Christian? And we don't know anything yet. There's places in the world way worse, but it's going to happen. And plus, he says, all those that live godly will be persecuted. Y'all smell like fish if you smell like Christ in a world that only likes chicken. And the more you smell like fish, the more chicken people are going to hate you. And that's what happened to Christ because he was the ultimate fish. So look at verse 2. He said, for people will be lovers. Isn't that cool? In the end, people, Abby, everybody's going to be in love. I love. Isn't it great to just love? It doesn't even matter what the object of the love is, right? It's just love. Isn't it great? Isn't that what the world says? Let's just love. Is that good, Abby, or does it matter what you love? Yeah, it does. For people will be lovers of what? Huh. Does that not, Kenny, do you think people are becoming more selfish or less selfish? Yeah, how many of y'all would agree people are becoming a little more self-centered? Yeah, what was it back in the day? I wish I would have looked this up. But you remember back in the day, the magazines. Some of y'all don't even know what magazines are, right? But remember back in the day, there was a magazine called Time, right? Time, and then what was the one after that? Life, and then what happened after that? People, yeah, dude, yeah. I mean, hey, you young people, we didn't have phones to read when we were in the bathroom. We read magazines, man. Think about how sanitary that was, but I'm just saying. So there was life, there was time, there were life, time, people. Then what came after people? Y'all remember that one? No, well, that's always, now that's our mainstream media. But no, after that, we have us. And then look what we have now. What was the first thing that y'all had, like, on computers, your little page? MySpace. Yeah, MySpace, right? Y'all remember, how many of y'all have remembered MySpace, right? Yeah. And now we've got multiple accounts that are focusing on who? Put your thumbs up. Focusing on who? Me. Do you think society is... Now, that's why during these wake-up calls, isn't that the beauty of the storm? I heard all your testimonies. You got... Man, people came and they helped us out, man. That's the beauty. That's why God has these wake-up calls, y'all. But without them, we just get wrapped up in ourselves. So people will be lovers of themselves. Oh, how about this one? Lovers of what? Yeah, if I love myself, I got to love money because I got to be able to take care of myself and all of this. So again, lover of self, lover of people. I heard a pastor say one time that in the end times, as we go through, people are going to be in a love affair just with the wrong things. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. All right?
Any school teachers here? Any school teachers, have you seen, is the respect level towards authority going up or is it going down?
Yeah. Dude, how many of y'all watch your grandkids and watch different people? You watch kids do stuff that if you'd have done it, man, your mom would have killed you twice. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not bashing you or whatever. We live in a different world. I'm just like, huh? You even see your kids get away with stuff that if you would have done it, what would we have done? Grandparents, you would have died. Yeah, no doubt. But they get away with it, right? I'm saying you watch society, and yes, we look for the good. We are the good. That's what he's getting ready to tell us. We are the good. This is why we put on Christ, because in a world that's going this direction, that's getting darker, what happens when you pop up as a light? Yeah. And the greatest darkness cannot hide the tiniest what? Light. And your light's a lot brighter than you think. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Holy means like God. Unholy means anything that's not like God. That's even getting hard to find in the church. He goes on to say, heartless. I'm not going to touch it, JJ. I'll let you touch this. Heartless, unappeasable. What does unappeasable mean? Anybody? Hey, Ron, what does unappeasable mean?
Not appealing.
Yeah, not appealing. Yeah. You can throw at them everything, and it's like, yeah, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to eat. Y'all ever do that? Go, I could take you places in the world where if they looked open your refrigerator, they'd find something to eat. But I'm just saying, unappeasable. Because I got it all. I got, you know, nothing satisfying. Like Solomon. What did Solomon have? Everything. But he said, at the end, it's all what? What's the V word? Yeah, he said vanity. It's like a soap bubble. You blow that bubble, and as soon as you catch it, it pops. It's unappeasable. It just doesn't do anything for me. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, not loving good. Is there a world right now that is becoming more loving towards things that aren't good? And good is defined by God. Next, he says, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. So let me share this. Let me talk about this for a second. Having the appearance of godliness. Okay, I got a form of religion. I got some godly things I do. I got some churchy stuff I say. I got a form of godliness, but denying its power. Why is it denying the power? Because it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's not God. You water God down and teach another God to people. You've not given them God. You've given them one of your idols. So there's going to be more godliness, look like godliness. This is what godliness is. It's doing this, it's doing this, it's doing this. But there's no power from the Holy Spirit. Because God's Holy Spirit only participates in what he ordains. He said, avoid such people. Look at this next one, and I may offend some people here. But that's what the Bible does. Look at this. For among them are those who creep. There's creeps. How many of y'all know there's creeps in this world? And here's the definition of a creep. All right, here's the definition of a creep. I'm just going to tell you, the definition of a creep is somebody who doesn't preach the word of God, and they have their own set of standards, and they convince people that that standard is okay. And look at this. So for among them are those who creep into what? Why would Satan want to creep into a household? What happens in a household? That's the home. That's the family. That is the structure God said that he was going to create, build society on, his family. So it's no wonder that Satan wants to tear down families. For among them are those who creep into households. Why don't they creep into bars? Why don't they go creep into the parks, creep into, well, they do at White City, but no, I'm just, but, well, inside joke if you live in Fort Pierce, but it ain't a joke, but. But look where they're creeping into. They're creeping into households. Why? Because that's where they can do the most damage. That's where Satan can use them to break down the family structure, which is the most important structure God's taught. It's the structure we got to have. creep into households, and look at this. Who do they capture? I ain't being sexist right here. Kenny, you're a sexist, right? No, I'm just messing with you, but Kenny, who do they creep in? Look at this. Who do they creep in the households, and who do they capture strong, godly leaders of men? No, who are they capturing, Kenny? Go ahead and say it. It's right there. Weak women. Let's just start there. Weak women. We'll leave it right there, Kenny. I don't want you to elaborate anymore. No, but weak women. And by the way, in this world right here, are there not men who think they're women? Yeah, dude, supposedly there's men who can breastfeed. I'm just saying, it's all getting messed up because Satan, if he can mess up the family structure, he can mess up everything. And if you don't know the Word of God, you don't have the courage to stand for the Word of God, and you don't have the faith to stand for the Word of God, and you'll fall for anything. And that's what he says is going to happen more and more and more and more. Where, and I'm just going to tell you the latest statistic out 2 years ago, maybe three now. It wasn't Barnett, it was another dude. And he said that there was 60-something percent. It was 38, only 38% of evangelical pastors had a world biblical view, a biblical worldview. Only 38% of pastors at that time said, you know what, the Bible tells us how to view this world and how to live according to it. That meant over 60% of people who call themselves evangelical Christians, they don't even believe the Word of God. It's a guideline. No, dude, this is, man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every what? Word that comes from the mouth of God. And I'll show you that in a second, also in the last part of the scripture we're going to look at. For among them, those who creep into households and they capture weak women who aren't being led by strong men, which is the way God designed it. And I'm not being sexist. Go back to Genesis and see. Men, it's our job to lead our family spiritually. And if we don't lead them spiritually, guess what? Women are going to find somebody to lead them spiritually. And it may even be themselves, but it's generally creeps. People who creep in and they capture weak women. Look at this, look at this. Here's what he says about the women. They're burdened with sin. Hey, so if I'm burdened by sin, Kim, if you're burdened by sin, what do you do with that sin according to the Word of God? You confess it, right? And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Word of God tells us how to deal with sin that's burdening us. He gives us that guilt to let us know there's something wrong, and then we can give it to Him. In Peter, he says, cast all your cares on Him because it's His job to care for you. Somebody's got to be teaching Scripture. But if we don't go by Scripture, what do we go by? Oh, my feelings. Oh, my feelings. And oh, let me put some thoughts into these feelings. We're always fighting these three things. We're fighting our thoughts, we're fighting our feelings, and we're fighting our desires. All three of those things, we're fighting them. And if you ever, oh, follow your heart. What a bunch of bull. That is straight from the pit of hell. Jeremiah says your heart is more deceitful than anything. Your heart wants something, but it's against Scripture. We go with Scripture. But if nobody's teaching Scripture, if you got nobody holding you accountable to Scripture, I'm not saying women can't do that with each other, but I'm just saying that's not even how God designed it. But what's happening is that people are living off their emotions. They don't know Scripture. And they don't know it in context. That's the next thing I could be talking about in this. But all of a sudden, I feel this, so it's got to be real. Yeah, it's real. It's real sin. You have to go to Scripture and see what Scripture says about that feeling. And Scripture trumps, and there's no political thing here, Scripture trumps your feelings. Scripture trumps your thoughts. You're even like, well, I know, I felt this, and I saw this. This is real. Dude, how many of y'all ever been duped by an illusionist? You ever gone to a show and seen an illusionist like, oh my goodness, look at that. That person doesn't have a head anymore. Oh, how are they alive? Well, you know it can't be true because it wouldn't work when you put the facts together. But your mind, your heart, and your guts can all be tricked into all of this. So we've got to know Scripture. And men, women, I am so grateful for women who know Scripture. I'm so grateful for women who study Scripture. But men, whose responsibility is it to bring Scripture and the Word of God into this world? Yeah, exactly. Put your thumb up and say, mine. Mine. Yeah. And you know what, dude? I know you got really cool hair. You're a good-looking guy. But even if you weren't, how many girls are looking for a guy that loves the Word of God and loves God? That's the most attractive quality you could ever have. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You could be fat, bald, and crippled, man, but if you love Jesus, he's got a woman for you. I'm just saying. It'll happen one day, bro. All them curly-haired people, they ain't got no hair no more, man. No, I'm just messing. I'm messing with you, man. But I want you to know, all of you, men, this is your job. This is not an indictment on women. It's an indictment on men. For among them are those who creep into households and capture. They capture. Why? Because no one's protecting them. No one's looking out for them and say, hey, man, you know what? How many of you guys have the guts to tell your wife, I know what you're feeling right now, but that's not what Scripture says? Dude, that's dangerous ground, ain't it? That's why God put you in that position, and you got to find some wisdom. Oh, dear God, please help me know how to say this the correct way. He says, household, they capture weak women, burdened with sin, and they're not dealing with it correctly, and led, what? Led astray. By various what? Yeah. And I'm just going to say there's a bunch of wussy men out there that might as well be women that are led astray by various passions instead of the Word of God. Passion. What is passion? How would you describe the word passion? Anybody? Yeah. That's your heart. So you know where it came? It first came in a feeling that then went to your mind. And your mind starts figuring this out and logically, oh, well, this makes sense. And all of a sudden, it becomes your desire. And now it's what you desire, and it's a passion. That's where you got to have it in check with the Word of God. Amen? Led astray by various passions. Look at this. Always learning. I can't tell you how many men and women, but especially women, have come to me in my 30 years of pastor. Oh, I've just learned. Have you seen the book of Enoch? Or have you read this? Or have you read this letter? Have you seen this? Oh, there's something new here. No, Paul said any other gospel's garbage. People are like, well, what books do I need to look, do I need to read so that I know the Word of God is the truth? Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot these days because people are challenging the Word of God. And making it not viable to people. Oh, you can't trust the Word of God. Why would Satan do that? Because it's the only truth we have, and if he can get us doubting it. JJ, what's the answer? Well, what book should I read to let me know that the Word of God is actually true? Well, I bet you guys know this answer. It begins with B and ends with Bible. What book do you read? Dude, the Word of God. Read it cover to cover. It will validate itself. And God is a big enough God to protect his word. Amen? If not, you don't know the God of the Bible. And it comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Always learning, learning. What book can I read? Billy Graham. How many of y'all think you ever read the Bible? Billy Graham. Yeah. Yeah. You know what he said at the end of his life, bro? He said, I wish I would have read the Bible more than books about the Bible. Just read the Word of God. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. How in the world is it 11:11 already? Oh, my goodness. All right. Terry, you ever wonder those things? How did it ever? All right. Always learn and never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Why? Because where's the knowledge of truth, Ken? What is the truth? The Word of God. So if you're reading everything but the Word of God and you're not getting to the truth, everybody take your fist and go, duh. Duh! The Word of God is the truth. That's what we read. Everybody, you can read other stuff. I'm not saying don't, but man, you've got to know the Word of God. always learning, that's what it takes, right? No, never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Why? Because they're not at the truth. Wake up. This season is almost over. That's why Satan is fighting so hard. Look at this. These next 2 points, it'll only take 10 minutes. Watch this. No. He tells us in this next passage of Romans, he says, I left you here not to mimic the world, but to show the world who Christ is. That's the only reason you're here, no matter what your profession is. No matter what situation you are in, with a hurricane and without the hurricane, with your bank account, without your bank account, with your health, without your health. Dude, no matter what situation you're in there by God's design. And it's to show the world who Christ is. Look at verse 12. He says, the night is far gone. When nobody knew, before Christ came, they made up all their own rules. They messed up the word of God. And that's why John the Baptist came and said, repent. Everything you've been taught is wrong. Turn around and follow this next dude that I'm not even worthy to tie a sandal. Follow him because he's going to tell you the truth. These Pharisees, these Sadducees, these Essenes, these zealots, they got it wrong. Follow Jesus. Follow this guy. And then now Jesus told them the truth. Why did they crucify Jesus? One, because he said he was God. But two, he exposed their what? Sin. Yeah, dude. I don't know if you ever lived in a place like this, but growing up in Orlando, before there was concrete, and we had jealousy windows, and, you know, our houses had cracks kind of in the flooring so that we could get air coming up, because I didn't have air conditioning until I was even, like, in high school. And our houses were ventilated so air could get in. But if air could get in, what else could get in? Oh, yeah. Our relatives from Michigan, when they did kind of come to check on us, they would always go back and go, oh, them people are nasty. They got big roaches. We're like, no, they're palmetto bugs. They got giant spiders. Yeah, they eat the mosquitoes. It's like they all had a purpose in our house. It was just a happy, cohesive ecosystem, man. But in that kind of a house before there were pesticides, you know what? Nobody spray. Well, I take that back. We had a big truck that would spray DDT out the back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all as kids got on your bikes and followed that besides me? That's why you guys have nasally accents like mine. I was the best bike rider. I get right behind breathing in that DDT, and then we found out it wasn't good for us. But the government said it was when they were spraying it. But anyways, point is, man, when you went in that house like that and you flipped the light on in the kitchen in the middle of the night, what did you see? Just take a guess. I'm sure you've watched YouTube videos or something. Not bugs, dude. You saw roaches, dude. And then there came German roaches. Then we got to start getting roaches from all over the rest of the country and world. You know, that's just what Florida's become. But when you flip on the light, dude, and do the roaches kind of look at you and go, huh? If you live in a tough neighborhood, they do. But most roaches, when you flick on the light, what do all the roaches do? Shoo! They run. And how many are like, whoo? Because how many of y'all ever had a roach fly at you? Dude, you got a roach fly at you. I don't care. You ain't tough, man. I don't care who you are. You can be quick draw McGraw, man. And you're just going to blow a hole in your seal. You ain't going to get roaches flying at you. That's scary, dude. But you flick on the light, roaches fly. They go away because they know you're going to kill them because they're doing. Christ came and said, this is sin. He exposed sin. And they didn't like their sin exposed. They had a way to excuse it. They had it kind of nullified. They had a comfortable form of religion and theology. And Christ said, no, this is what holiness of God is. And they're like, no. And that was why they tried to kill him, because he was going to mess things up. That, and the main reason, is because he said he was God. He said, night's gone. Night's gone. Now you know what light is. I put a post out not too long ago, Kenny, and you responded by saying, men, what? Hate God. Men hate God. Yeah, men hate God. Because God is light and exposes darkness. Unless you're a believer and you're like, oh, good, I like walking in the light. How many of y'all didn't have power and had to walk around in the dark? No, you got phones now and all that. Back in the day, man, we just ran into stuff. You know, when you walk around in the dark, it's a scary place. You know, we have light. That's protection. That's good thing. The night's far gone. The day is at hand. It's light now. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. So then let us cast off the works of darkness. Anytime you read scripture and you're convicted that you're wearing darkness, that you're participating in darkness, don't argue. Cast it off. Get it off of you. Man, my wife came home yesterday after working in Skylar and Emily's mud puddle, dude. She was covered. And she took my boots, man, my white shrimp boots, dude, without even asking. She got them all dirty inside out. They're hers now. I helped her clean them with some Clorox and all that just so she don't get fungus. But I'm like, oh, you know. She was covered in all this stuff. She's covered. I didn't want a hug from her. Good thing she ain't a hugging wife. But I'm just saying, if she come up and wanted to sit in my lap and wanted to hug me and stuff, what's she going to have to do before that goes down? Yeah, cast off. I don't want the fungus out of your mud puddles, dude. Cast off. You know, get rid. That's what he's saying in the Word of God. Anytime you're convicted of any darkness, don't excuse it. You can find the world's excusing it and the world's making it okay. But if God's word, which is the only truth we have, says it's not, get it off of you. Why? Why do I not want fungus? You guys, you got your backyard ain't even dry enough to help clean it up right. So Kurt and Claudia, y'all, we can put together a crew if they want a crew. We'll put it up to them, let them know you're available. They live right down the street from Emily, but their yard's not even dry enough to clean things up. But there's some nasty stuff back there. Are y'all just sitting in the middle of it eating lunch and with your hands and pulling bologna off the ground? Why don't you do that? What would happen if you did that? You would get sick, parasites, all kinds of things. It's the same way spiritually. God says, if there's something I'm saying that's nasty and dirty, get it off of you and clothe yourself with what is good. He goes on to say, cast off the works of darkness and put on. You got, what if my wife came home and all that nasty clothes and she just put on her best clothes on top of it? How many of y'all think that's a good idea? No, because you just get those dirty. You mean her clean clothes aren't clean enough to get her dirty clothes clean? But don't we think that spiritually sometimes? Get the junk off of you. And then you put on the armor of light. Armor. Ken, what's armor for? Protection, man. Armor. He said light, having light in the Word of God, that's armor, which means it protects us. I think I'm going to end here, even though I'll maybe finish it all next week, but we're going to look at the armor of God. We'll do that next week. We'll finish this passage, but I think you know enough to apply this right now. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for saving us and putting your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you so much for this body of Christ. Father, from the very first testimony we heard during the joy bucket to this last testimony and to everything we've seen in the Word of God. Father, it just all ties together that this season, this season before you come back, there's not much time. And even if there's a lot of time left in that season, there's not much time left in ours. We're limited. We've got limited time to get done what you have given us the privilege to be able to do in serving you. And there's so many situations that you put us in. Every single situation you put us in is a divine encounter. I pray, Father, that we would see it as that. I pray, Father, that we would realize that we're going to stand before you one day and you're going to say, what did you do with that situation? And when we give you the answer, Father, I pray we would hear back from you, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us, Father, to be good. And that only comes from you. Help us to be faithful. That comes from us knowing who you are through the Word of God. Help us just be a servant. And that comes from your Holy Spirit directing us. Father, that's all we want to be, is good and faithful servants. Help us realize that this season's almost over. You've only left us here to be able to show others who Christ is, no matter what our circumstance. And the point we'll get to next week is we need to put you on. Because we do have to live in our new nature, that desires you, but we live in the flesh that desires this world. So we constantly have to put you on every day, all the time, like the armor of God. We put you on and get rid of anything that's dirty on your head so we can show the world who Christ is. So Father, I pray that's what we would do. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure when they die they're going to heaven because they've never surrendered themselves to you. They don't have an intimate relationship with you as a living God according to the Word of God. Father, I pray that today would be the day that you give them a desire they can't refuse, where they would just surrender everything they know about themselves, everything they know about you, and they would just beg, call on you to be their new boss. And you take care of the rest, because I know you will. You did for us. So, Father, I'm grateful that you gave us this word. I'm grateful that you gave us this wake-up call. And I'm grateful we're at this particular place in Scripture that goes so perfect with it all. So help us, Father, to show others who you are. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.